let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. It's not a ritual prayer. It's a prayer to make everything that you do valuable and profitable at the judgment seat of Christ and for eternity. And this requires the work of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how few Christians really understand the importance, the all-importance, of the Holy Spirit. We're studying this in Acts on Wednesday night, and there's nothing you can do that you do in the flesh outside of the Holy Spirit that is profitable before God and for you in your spiritual life that touches time and eternity, earth and heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So let's begin with the word of prayer, give you an opportunity to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly and the opportunities that you give us to serve you. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing, Brian?
My Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in a cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in a cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, he taketh my burden away. He holds me up and I shall not be moved. He gives me strength as my day. He hides my soul in the depth of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand.
Bibles. Look at Colossians chapter 3. You just sang a beautiful hymn, He Hideth My Soul, and I notice he did not have this verse at the bottom of the reference, but look, He Hideth My Soul. Look at Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised, and since, not if, but since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. or the time we waste worrying about the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, he hideth my soul. Your life has been hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So that was a very meaningful song in regard to what we've been studying. Okay, let's say talk about some prayer now. First of all, how's Thomas?
Good.
Okay. Any other prayer requests that are great? Yes.
I do. So Friday we went for my dad's quarterly cancer check, and the cancer is active again and growing. So we have to. He's presenting his case again before the cancer conference, and the doctor will bring us back with what type of treatment he needs to start. But he does need to start treatment again.
Do you know when the doctor will come back with that?
He said we'd probably hear from him by Friday.
Okay.
So, but he thinks it's going to be probably like chemoembolization. He's done that. He's done every treatment they could possibly do on it. So whatever they do, they'll repeat one of the other treatments.
Okay.
If that's the case, he's handled every treatment really well. In fact, the doctor said more better than expected, you know. So, yeah. I mean, Dad doesn't feel bad. He doesn't feel sick. We wouldn't have known if we don't have these checkups.
Wow, good.
So, yeah. So I just want to pray that.
Body's different.
Right.
Chemo differently, everything. You know.
Yeah, so.
We'll be in prayer for Johnny. Tell him we're in prayer.
Treatment plan for him and his body as well.
Any other prayer? Yes.
I'd like to ask that you guys continue to be in prayer, especially for this group right back here on the wall. I mean, we could go on and on about the next group, but had some of them, or one of them in particular, reach out to me this week with some very specific biblical questions, as they're going back into their college environment. The world around them, as we know, is very antithetical to anything that's like-minded. So I just really appreciate that she sought out a good counsel to have a leg to stand on and has a desire to stand firm amongst her peers that are not in agreement. But just really wanted to have some biblical things to back her up. I also be in prayer for her. Her name is Gabby. That she's encouraged to know that I told her. I said, "You've got this. You know, you've got this in your soul, and you've got the weapon that you need to work through these things. I'm here for you. We're here for you. Just know that you can do this." So, and then I know Mackenzie was starting back at the church. She's got Nacogdoches today. So several of them are walking back into those environments there. So I ask you to be in prayer for them, and next week we'll talk about what's happening in our house. So.
Well, I hope that I've conveyed to you the importance of prayer and how powerful it is. You can set up a barrage for every one of these young people. If you don't have a list, take the list. Take the names back there. Mention them by name. Don't just say, "Father, help all the kids." That's fine. But how much more personal it is, "Father, help," and list them. Kay Langston. See? Kenzie Wise. The names that are up there. So, if you've forgotten their names, write them down.
But then their addresses may have changed. I can help you with that as well.
Please be in prayer. Rather than criticize young people today, pray for them. Instead of using your voice to criticize, use it to pray for them. Thank you very much, Larry. All right, any other prayer? Yes?
Answered prayer. I kind of wanted to expand a little bit because it's a beautiful story. We prayed for Katharina and Theodora, their trip back to Greece.
Yes.
And when they came over, we'd ask for the stewardess to help them or somebody to help them go through their change of flights in Canada. Nobody did, and they had to fill out paperwork, and it was difficult. So we asked again on the way back that they do something, and on the way, or just before we left for the airport, their flight was delayed, making the connection problematic to their connection in Canada. So we're watching, and we prayed about it, and as they left, I said, "The battle is the Lord's, and okay, we'll let it in His hands." And so we're watching their flight as they're getting going across, thinking that maybe the pilot's going to make up some time, but he didn't. So it looked like for sure they were going to have to navigate the change of flights and everything on their own. So as the flight landed, almost the second it landed, we're watching their connecting flight, and it was delayed by 2 hours. So they were going to make it. And then when they landed, the stewardess said, "Everybody sit down. I've got two young ladies I need to escort off the plane." Katharina was a little embarrassed, but Theodora, I'm the queen. So then the stewardess helped them through the because there's two international areas, the U.S. To Canada, and then there's a Canada to international, and they had to go through paperwork and so on. The lady helped them get across, and once they got across, gave them $20 Canadian to get food before they get on the next flight. So, I mean, that was it. And I think that was, it was helpful for the two girls to see the answered prayer in their own lives, especially Katharina having gone through the camp and so on. So it was a beautiful, beautiful response from God to our prayers.
Now, he didn't say, "I want to bring in something else." Next camp, less than a year away, 2019, you've already got a new one. His 10-year-old niece wants to come back with her sisters, right?
And have an international camp.
So we'll have three of them from Greece next year. Very good.
On that note, I would really appreciate a very specific prayer request for camp. We are struggling with a facility right now for the size and the timing of being able to use it because of obligations. So if you would be in prayer for God to just open it up and tell us where he wants us to have this camp, and we'll go from there. So that's the specific prayer request.
And this is a scheduling prayer.
It's scheduling and size.
God can handle both.
Yes, he can.
Please be in prayer, people. This is very important. Yes.
Chris's mother-in-law, Kathy, she's having some complications from some surgery that she had.
Oh, wow.
Kathy, all right. We'll be in prayer. Thank you. People, please be in prayer about the camp. It's very important. The subject matter is important. But we've got to have somewhere to go. So if you don't want us all coming to your house for a week next year, you might want to spend time in prayer that God will open up a place at a good time. That'll be agreeable to all the problems. So
you have
please.
A big house, by all means.
So, any other prayer requests? Yes.
Well, why don't you go first?
Ladies first.
I have a long one. So.
Okay. My friend June, my political buddy, she had to move to. Oh, I can't hear. My political buddy, June, had to move back to Maryland. Her mom got sick, and she suffered from battling dementia, diabetes, and other medical issues. Mm-hmm. Her name is Dorothy King.
Dorothy,
does she know the politics in Maryland? All right. Yes, I like that. All right, we'll be in prayer.
Yes.
Well, first off, I want to give the praise report about all of that we have been doing. I know that in this room, it looks small. We have grown leaps and bounds on the internet mission. Last year, by the end of the year, we had a little over 10,000 unique visitors to all of our three websites, you know, that we accommodate. Well, this year, as of last week alone, we have 16,000. This is not even the end of the year yet. Mm-hmm. Also, the number of countries is grown from a little over 100 to 124 countries now. So we are in support of everything, and we also have the feedback from the listeners in Florida, in Kansas, and other places saying that when we ask for prayer requests, we're not speaking loud enough, and I've been trying to make it louder, and the poor Jim and now have to sit and wait for me, you know, cleaning the room and all that, that it takes up from the 1 to 3 hours every single afternoon to do. And I don't know how long Jim is going to live down here on Earth to help me out. So I have a lot of requests. I need more. So any more volunteers, I also need you guys to speak up. I know it sounds almost like weird that, hey, I'm talking about my personal spiritual matter, but it does matter to other people who have no other home church other than on the internet, where this is the only place where they can feel at home. So you matter, and your stories matter, that, you know, it helped them to know what to pray and to grow in the spiritual prayer, you know, muscles as well. So please don't be shy. Please speak up. And this week, this coming week, the biggest thing is because of the merger of the host servers that we actually have, we're moving to the new one. They're going to cut the old one off on the 28th. So please pray that day in particular that everything will go smoothly. I'm switching the internet. The address is called DNS. So there will be a downtime for about 72 hours. I hope that it doesn't hurt the Wednesday, but if it does, then hopefully it will be the minimum, that it will go up again by the Thursday. So please pray for me. And at the very same time, I'm being really tried a lot at work. Both me and my prayer warrior friends, Misha, we both get attacked about the work, the projects we were doing, they're not going well up to like the level of the vice president or actually looking into it. So I'm battling both sides, and I just pray for peace for me. And if you guys can actually help me, also pray. So you know, when we walk in the spirit and in this trying time like this, yeah, I would really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So do you think if people stand right there, then
or in their voice?
Yeah, or in that way. Also, like when you hold the microphone, holding like this, horizontally, it doesn't help because your voice doesn't project into the cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
So what matters is if your voice projects into the cylinder, like holding up like this, you know, horizontally, it matters because it will pick it up no matter how close or far. Likewise on this, if you look into it and speak, sing into that direction, it will pick it up. But even if you are like this and you project away from it, it won't pick you up because the voice doesn't travel that way. It travels in straight line.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll please, you know, help out, help us out here.
Good. I remember that.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right. I've got several announcements all under one topic. John Hintz and I talk occasionally. One of the disadvantages of a small assembly as ours are the opportunities of service. And I do realize that some people just want to serve. And we've lost various people over the years. I need to go to a church where I can serve, and they get my blessing. I understand that. But you know, I'm very, very thankful. Chris and Larry Day, Brian and Larry Wise, they've made their own. They decided, okay, we can serve the Lord this way. Jim Langston, Kit, and made up their minds. Here's the help in an Eric, Leslie, in this area, and so Jeff from the communion. I need one or two people, and I've done this before. Nobody's come forward, so I'll just do it again. To take upon themselves our missionaries. Now let me go through what's going to be happening. It just seemed like in the next few weeks we're going to be inundated with some missionaries. This is not by accident. God is saying, okay, y'all pray for ministries, here it is. So I hope somebody here will be so motivated, take it upon themselves, keep in touch with the missionaries, keep in contact with our board back there, a map, different things. But first one, and just for your calendars, you keep a calendar, I do, so keep a calendar, but Sunday, September the 9th, 9th September, Sunday morning, Dan and Pat Hill will be here from Africa, and where they go and do their various ministries. So that will be that morning. Now the next one, I'm going to let Chris Day introduce. He's familiar, more acquainted. Is on Sunday the 30th, but the whole weekend is valuable to you. Chris?
Yes, so I'll talk into the microphone. Fassel John. So Fassel and Carrie, who've come to our camp, and Fassel is the missionary in Pakistan. He will be a primary keynote speaker at the Voice of the Martyrs convention, which is going to be in Frisco, Stonebriar Creek Church. And we can get you the information on all of that on September 29th. So he's going to be one of the keynote speakers. They're going to be talking about all the things that are going on in different areas of Voice of the Martyrs. If you're not familiar with Voice of the Martyrs, they've been around for a long time, support a lot of missionaries. They go into some really, really bad places, and they bring the gospel. And they are going to, so Fassel will be speaking at the Voice of the Martyrs conference on the 29th. You need to register. You don't have to. It's free. It's from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a Saturday. But it's going to be an amazing event for us to understand what Fassel does, what the Voice of the Martyrs does, and ways that we can support. Voice of the Martyrs is actually up in Oklahoma. That's their headquarters, and we are looking to try to figure out when we can take a group of the kids up, and if anybody else wants to come along and go do some work with the Voice of the Martyrs up the headquarters up there. So I will ask Leslie to get out. I'll send the flyer if you don't already have it. You have it. So we'll get that out to the church, but we would love to have everybody go spend the day understanding what these people do in some really, really tough places. Really tough places.
And the next morning, Sunday morning, either is it Saturday the 29th, then it must be Sunday the 30th, at the Sunday morning class here, Fassel and Kerry have made arrangements to be able to come here and speak here. So, please, we got two Sundays now geared up for missionaries. 9 September, 30 September. And please, if you can, the 29th is in Frisco, the Torture for Christ seminar. This is the Rembrandt. You may have seen the movie if you went to see the movie a couple of months ago. And so this is that organization. Then, and people, please, or just change your schedules if you have to. Wednesday night, 10 October, Bill and Pat Risley, their daughter Courtney, the doctor whom we were in prayer for, his other daughter, Amber, and her husband, Jose, will be here Wednesday, the 10th of October. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have a meal at 6 o'clock. We get to talk to him. He comes in, speaks, and leaves. Big deal. You know, we enjoy that. But you might have some questions and just interact with him. So, Wednesday night, October the 10th, 6 o'clock. Like we do, in fact, next Sunday is Communion Sunday, and so on 10 October, so you're going to have to come up with two meals in October, one the Sunday before for Communion, and then Wednesday night, October the 10th, we'll have a dinner at 6 o'clock right here, and then they'll speak, and we get to meet Courtney, and is your daughter going to be able to, wonderful. And remember, his daughter gave the machine, sonogram, and so they'll get to meet. And it'll just be a wonderful time, people. Please arrange your schedule. And Wednesday night, October the 10th, dinner at 6, and then we can sit and talk and fellowship with them, and then they'll speak. So, missionaries, Sunday, 9 September, Dan and Pat Hill, Sunday, 30th of September, Fassel and Kerry from Pakistan, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, 7:30, 6 o'clock, the Risleys will be here. And people, I'm just going to tell you privately, John and I don't know how much longer Pat has. Working in Mexico has taken about 10 years of her life. Cut her out of it. Sleeping on the floor, sleeping in the weather, hot weather, all that she's gone through, and bless her heart, Bill told John he's pretty much devoted his life to taking care of Pat. That's her condition. So this may be the last opportunity to get to talk. Now, let me tell you something. These are true missionaries. When you think of missionaries, you think of the Risleys. and Fassel. I mean, they've gone into Mexico. You know the story. They went in, didn't even know Spanish, drove their van in there. No missionary board would have them. Too old, untrained. They prayed as a family, drove to Mexico, put the TV on top of their van out of Campus Crusade for Christ, introducing Jesus. And they didn't think about this. People had questions after they watched it. They didn't speak Spanish. They looked at each other. What do we do? Well, the kids learned Spanish very quickly. And Bill and Pat have. They make up sermons and give them out to people. And there's going to be a tremendous number of this generation of Mexicans in heaven because of Bill and Pat Risley. And as John says, we're going to be eating a lot of tacos in heaven just because of y'all. So please plan on these three times. Sunday, September the 9th, Dan and Pat, and then the 30th of September, Fassel and Gary, and then Wednesday night, the 10th of October, the Risleys. Any questions on any of the missionaries' things? Okay, so these are things that God has given us the opportunity to do. I'm sorry. As a pastor, I don't do a lot of building programs. This is why we don't have a building. Or money getting and all of that. And I just find it difficult pleading for money. And I'm not pleading, but the offerings have gone down. The opportunities have gone up. So, it's like the old preacher said, I've got good news and bad news. We have all the money we need for the opportunities we're presented. Bad news, it's in your pocket. So, it's that simple. So, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, we just thank you for this humble assembly. We thank you so much for the opportunities you give us. You've given us an increased opportunity with the young people. We need a bigger area. That's a blessing. But it also costs. We have missionaries. It's a blessing. But we have costs and support. So many different things, Father, that you bring into our periphery to do, to serve, to get the gospel out to more believers and unbelievers. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Reason that I don't have that many friends anymore is that I embarrass them in church. Well, yesterday was Jeff's birthday. So, you don't look older. Do you feel older? Not really. Good. Yeah. Well, happy birthday, young man. Thank you for your service. Okay. Everyone have a copy? Putting up with one another. All right, Martha, did you and Mark get one coming in? Good, all right. Okay. All right. People, let's begin with the word of prayer. You're going to need it. You're going to need it for this morning's message. Putting up with one another. To me, as I study this in text, this is the most difficult of all the virtues that we've studied. Just putting up with each other, husband, wife, children, parents, work, social life, church.
Does this beat total depravity?
It's right there with it. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Give us the opportunity. Test yourself to see for trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Okay, Heavenly Father, sometimes we come into a human area where we can sympathize with you. You have to put up with us. You have to put up with us all of our life. You put up with the nation of Israel through its history. You put up with the church through the church age. And you've given to us the command and the power to put up with one another. I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the importance of this. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as I've said here, some of you are not going to like this study at all. All of us are not going to like it at some points in our lives, daily. Now, verse 13 gets right down to where we live at home, church, work, day in and day out, marriage, single life, ministries. This will be extremely difficult if you're one of those people who have a controlling personality. You're going to hate this if you have a controlling personality. I think of all the Christian virtues covered in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, this is the most difficult and the most needed on a moment-by-moment basis in our life. Let's first of all read Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Okay. Remember what section we're in Colossians. We're dealing with the daily life and dealing with one another. We saw in verse 12, we are to have a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, long-suffering. But there is so much more we are to characterize in our Christian life. Here's the next one. Bearing with one another. This is translated in several different ways in different Bibles. Let me go through some of them. Forbearing one another. Be tolerant of one another. Even accepting one another. And the one I like, put up with one another. All these are attempts to translate the present middle participle of the Greek word to hold back from falling, to restrain, to stop, to bear up, to have patience with in regards to the errors or weaknesses or even personalities of others. Make no doubt about it, this Greek word is complicated in classical Greek as well as New Testament Greek. The Complete Biblical Library, Volume 1, page 234, has this to say about this Greek word in classical Greek. Quote, appreciating the range of definitions of anekomai, that's our word, in secular Greek would involve an, listen now, just to work on a definition, would involve an investigation of the complete relationship between the verb and its voice and mood, which y'all think is boring, as well as reckoning with its status as transitive, taking an object, or intransitive, not taking an object. End quote. All of that just to come up with a definition. So whether you understand that or not, the point that they made was just to work on a definition of the word. So, let's limit our grasping of the word to the New Testament Greek, where it is just about as complex and confusing. The clearest way to grasp this word is to know what in Kittle, Volume 1, page 359, this word has two main senses, and everything else will follow under one of these two. First, to receive, take up, bear, endure. Secondly, to restrain oneself. Now, what we're going to see, that bearing with one another in the Bible, enduring one another, restraining yourself from reacting or moving out of the filling of the Holy Spirit, both of these definitions are involved in that sense. We're going to see you hold back, endure, you maintain your position in the Holy Spirit while putting up with someone else. Let's begin, as we have throughout our study, with Jesus Christ. Where in the Synoptic Gospels, our word is used only by Jesus Christ when He came down from the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark 9:19, Luke 9:41, Matthew 17:17, and Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation." Now people, just remember, He's just revealed Himself in glory. He's been there with two of the greats, Moses and Elijah. He's been there, right there, Peter, and they saw Him. This is a high moment for the humanity of Christ. So He looks down at these people, and He says, "You unbelieving, perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up our word with you? Bring him to me, to heal." Now, here's why long-suffering comes before enduring. How long draws from long-suffering? While put up with you is before His wrath is rightly administered. Jesus must have found it difficult to tolerate this useless generation after what just happened on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. As to the definition, bear with, included in receiving, Hebrews 13:22. But I urge you, believers, bear, okay, with the word of exhortation. This is not bearing with a person. Bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written you briefly. Parentheses. We do not know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Personally, I know it was a woman. Only a woman would write 13 chapters and say, "I've spoken to you briefly." But that's beside the point. Now, I've written to you briefly. All right. Bear with receiving this word of exhortation. Bear with in the receiving of this exhortation. The entire epistle of Hebrews is an appeal from the author as an exhortation and encouragement to proceed to action as Jewish believers in Jesus to move on in their Christian faith. Leave behind the 2,000 years of their Judaism and move into Christianity. To bear with receiving. See, they hear something, "I'm not going to do that. That's not what the law says. That's not what my forefather said. I don't like this." That's why you have to bear with this teaching. Because this teaching is against what you've been doing and what you've been taught in the law. This is now a new era, new dispensation. Bear with it. That's what he's saying. Bear with receiving his teaching. Means to pay close attention. Even when it seems difficult. Even when it seems wrong, according to your past. To give us a view of what happens if believers will not endure receiving sound teaching, 2 Timothy 4:3. Not speaking just to Jews, but to Gentile Christians. For the time will come, into the church age, when they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe that's where we live today. But, wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. But when they will not endure, that's our word, sound teaching. People, it's tough. I know that. It's not fun to come here. Gotta think, gotta listen, talk about verbs and nouns and transitives and intransitives and all this other. Look, I'm just trying to get along today. Don't bore me with all that verb stuff. See? All that parsing of nouns and declining and everything. See? I know that. It's tough. And that's why a lot of preachers don't do it. I just got word that a friend of mine graduated at seminary when I did. We were like-minded. We are like-minded. He's retiring. One's already died. A couple others are retiring. And I don't know who's going to take their place. There's just not that many. We have three here. I'd send any church. But there are not many that want to have verse-by-verse teaching. Okay. For the time will come, 2 Timothy 4:3, close of the church age, just before the rapture, which seems to me to describe today, when they will not endure this word. They refers to believers. This is not unbelievers. Believers will not endure, put up with sound doctrine. This means they will not listen to sound verse-by-verse teaching of the Word of God. They'll go somewhere else. They'll leave. Go somewhere where it's more pleasant. They will not receive the teaching of sound doctrine. There are a few churches that endure sound verse-by-verse teaching of the Word of God. Most people prefer to be entertained, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Desires from their flesh nature, not from the Holy Spirit. I constantly give thanks, and I mean this, for each one of you who come here faithfully. I thank you for it. I thank God for you. I thank God. Some people want to hear what the Word of God has to say. Now, it is not a Christian virtue to endure false teachers, and certainly is not from the leading of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received from us, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear it beautifully. They bear false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11:19. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. See? 2 Corinthians 11:20. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves to legalism, tithing, rituals, do, who enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, financially, time, all that, exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. And you bear that. But we also are to endure suffering for or because of our faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you, the Church of Thessalonica, among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and afflictions, which you endure. We're seeing this in Acts. The word starts in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world, and Rome is putting pressure on the spreading of this Christianity. Satan cannot allow Christianity to spread. 5,000 people the first day of the church age. 4,000 years of people after Peter's second sermon. Satan can't handle that. He's not going to allow that. He's got to hit it. So here are the believers who put up. They endure persecutions. This means they endure without leaving. Here we can grasp the meaning of the word. They endure persecutions and afflictions, meaning they did not deny their faith. They did not stop following Jesus Christ. They did not stop learning the Word of God, even under afflictions and intimidations. People, you just heard about our young people. Make no doubt about it. They're under intimidations. Various types of intimidations, afflictions, from teachers, from classmates, They're under it. Pray for them. Pray daily. They need it. Many Christians today stop going where sound teaching is presented because of pressure from their non-Christian and even from their Christian friends or because of their children. Today, intimidation, even severe action is taken by authorities, teachers, and government against Christian morals. Each one of you has to decide for yourself which is more important to you. Your stand with Christ or your stand with the world. In Acts 4, we saw just how Peter and John were not intimidated by the Sanhedrin who tried to intimidate them, beat them, and then told them, do not go teaching this Jesus resurrected. Stop it. They walked out and continued right on. And then when they were brought back in, they gave a wise answer. You have to decide. You are the Sanhedrin, the spiritual leaders of this country, whether we should obey man or God. We're going to obey God. So it was quick with a sound answer. Acts 4:19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. People, it's a small, intimate church. This is not an impressive room. But you like it. You come. Maybe you don't like it. But you come. Let me assure you, maybe your friends would like. Maybe your friends need the word too. Don't be afraid to invite someone here. Don't be afraid. I'm not. Don't be afraid. There might be someone else who just, hey, that's what I need, the Word of God. I don't care where we do it. I want to hear the Word of God. Don't be afraid. Okay. Now we come to our study in Colossians 3:13. In our relationship with one another, other Christians, at home, family, at work, the local church, we are exhorted to put up with one another. And this is our study for today. People, we have seen this simple principle with being long-suffering with one another. And now we have to put up with one another. And how long are you going to put up is another interesting study combining the two. Now, Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, and we studied that last week, with patience, long-suffering, showing forbearance for one another. This, of course, is the Greek word we're studying. And now the Holy Spirit zeroes in on how we're to put up with one another in love, in spiritual love. If we ever needed the Holy Spirit, sure it's now, to put up with other believers. Boy, I'm thankful I got the Holy Spirit to have to put up with you. That's fine. I can handle that. At least I caused you to think about the Holy Spirit. So that's good. See? Now, showing forbearance for one another, Ephesians 4:2. Another of the same kind. That's another of the same kind. It's another believer. Yes, believers will give you a pain. Often. It will be difficult. See? Wait a minute. Some of you may protest. Are we not to put up with unbelievers? Absolutely. But people, it's easier to put up with an unbeliever. We expect nothing from him. But you, a believer, why are you doing this? Why do you treat me this way? Why are you acting that way? You ought to know better. So it's much more difficult, more demanding, to put up with believers. See? We do not expect certain conduct from an unbeliever, but we expect it from another believer. The Spirit emphasizes that we are to put up with one another. That is, with another believer. It could be your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your family, outside of your home, church, work, your life. Now, showing tolerance or putting up with. This is in the present tense. And boy, you know what that means. This means all the time. Not just day in and day out, but mean hour in and hour out. There are various character flaws are just some characteristics of other believers that just rub you the wrong way. You just don't like the way they dress. You don't like the way they drive. You don't like the way they talk. You just don't like them. See? It rubs you the wrong way. That's not the way you were brought up. And of course, there are sin patterns that really get upset with. You really get upset with. And what the Holy Spirit is saying here is that we are not to get out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit or out of fellowship with our Lord and Savior friend. And how do we not get out of fellowship? By putting up with one another. And how do we put up with one another? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we tap in to the power of the Holy Spirit? By faith. I was talking to John Ince, and he was one of the passages that teach faith in the Holy Spirit. And I shared with him this one. He said, wow, I've never seen that. So let's just be sure you remember it. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my message, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, my message, my teaching, my preaching, proclaiming, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, which they had Greeks like, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, even, not and, but even, of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. That is, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you exhibit this forbearing with one another, you walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Ephesians 4:1. You walk in a manner worthy which you've been called. Now, what is so difficult for many believers is to realize that other believers are not all that wonderful. Some of us learn it very quickly. And then you realize that they themselves are not all that wonderful either. And that people have to put up with me too. Do others have to put up with you? And be honest. Don't deceive yourself how wonderful you are. You have an honest mother, you know you're not. You have an honest husband or wife, you know you're not. And definitely if you have even dishonest children, you'll know it. See? So, be honest. Are there things that about you that others in your family, your work, your social life, your church have to put up with you in a relationship with you? I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I don't like things about me. And every now and then I say to Judith, why in the world did you marry me? And I hate her answer. I don't know either. See? I don't like that answer either. But people, we have to be honest with ourselves. See? Is everything to be tolerated? I want to cover that. The question arises, are there levels of toleration? Absolutely. When I first did this with Kit, I had it in paragraph form. I was working on it. I said, no, I need to develop this in thought form, not paragraph form. So I went back and asked Kit to put the points in. Point one, a parent will tolerate in their children what they will condemn in other children. However, a wise, caring parent will be careful not to tolerate or put up with conduct from which their own children that may become injurious in practice. If they continue in this practice, it's going to become injurious in their life. Not going to tolerate it. Point two, it has been well pointed out that what has been allowed, put up with, by a parent, or even society, from indiscretion on the part of the parent of society, will soon be claimed as a right of the child, or citizen, or alien. As soon as the parent, or the society, or even the church, are faced with uncontrollable immorality, as in America, because we tolerated it. Three, for a while, homosexuals, improper dress, improper behavior, drugs, was from indiscretion of parents, of government tolerated, where today they're claimed as rights, which of course does not make them right before God. Or, no earthly authoritative structure, rotated by God, as the home or church or nation, has the right to tolerate or put up any behavior forbidden by the Word of God. When it does that, home, church, or society is headed for loss of its own existence. They will self-destruct. And after prolonged ignoring the Word of God, of receiving the wrath of God, they're headed for that. People, do you really think God is going on to go on and allow such indiscretion and sinful behavior continue in this country? If he does, to me, he owes Sodom an apology. If he doesn't do something about what's going on in America. 5. When these abuses are allowed to creep in under the banner of toleration and take deep roots in that institution, home, church, nation, it is most difficult, if not impossible, Hebrews 6, to bring about reform or return to the established norm and standards without endangering the very existence of the institution itself. Study the history of Israel in the Old Testament. 6. When abuses are not grievous to the future of that person or the institution, tolerance or putting up with them is in the scope of our study. But, point 7, the church is to be very careful as to what it will put up with or tolerate. We should not tolerate unsound teaching of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 11:19 again. For you being so wise, that said sarcastically, tolerate the foolish gladly. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. Yes.
When I hear the word foolishly, gladly tolerate, and then another word comes into my mind, as a lot of people say embracing, like embrace all ethnicity, embrace all of the diversity in this world. Does the Bible say anything in terms of the differences between toleration and embracing?
I didn't come up with the word embrace.
I do know about English enough, but when I actually study languages, I do know that the connotation in many languages about the toleration and embracing are different. Because in embracing, you gladly, foolishly tolerate something and you see the value in it. But in toleration, you do have irritation. But to a certain point, you don't actually react upon it.
So here we're wise in using the word toleration rather than embrace.
Right.
Good. Okay. We all tolerate, put up with, more from a close family member than we tolerate in others. I personally am not that big on premarital counseling, but I'm very big. I will do a lot of premarital counseling if someone is marrying someone who has children by another marriage. A man marrying a woman who has children. To me, that man needs a lot of counsel. The rearing of those children is none of your business. You were not there when that mother and child cried all night, holding each other. You were not there when they went through the divorce problems. You were not there in their struggles. Leave it alone. You support the woman. Now, if she and the children give you the place, then you're more than welcome to interfere, to enter into their discipline. But to me, your responsibility is to support that woman in whatever she does in regard to those children. It is not your place to spank them. It is not your place to criticize them Because what happens with a lot of bachelors, they marry, well, look at the way he's running around. I wouldn't let my kid run around that way. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. You'd tolerate it. But you walk right into the bore, and you're not ready to. So, people, this is a very important statement. We will tolerate in our own children, members of our own family, what we'll not tolerate in others. And this is the whole point of the phrase one another in our study. It may not have occurred to you, but we're to regard all other believers as close family members in the family of Christ, where we are to put up with one another. So I go from the known. I think all of you understand. We'll put up with things with our brothers and sisters, our children, that we do not put up with the people across the street. We'll condemn it. But we don't condemn it in our own. Why? That's family. That's my blood. That's my child. That's my brother, my sister. See? So we have to understand the family of Christ that we're involved in. So let's spend a few moments on looking at that. Point one. All, underline, all believers in the church age, the one sitting next to you, the ones at home, in your family, regardless of race, sex, or economic status, the ones you don't like, the ones you do like, the ones who rub you the wrong way, whatever it is, all believers in the church age belong to the family of Jesus Christ. They're in your family. They are your joint heirs. Do you put up with your earthly family members? How much more should we put up with our eternal family members? Two, by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, all believers from Adam to the church age were made members of the family of God. But beginning on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit does something additional. He baptizes everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior into union with Jesus Christ. That day, everyone who has already believed in Christ, and then from then on, everyone who will, baptized into union with Christ. And this should make a big difference in how you interact with one another, how you put up with one another. They're believers in Christ. They're your family members. Three, the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just a theological doctrine or eternal security doctrine. It plays an important role in your relationship with one another. Think about it. You were not born into some other family where you would not have to put up with your now brother and sister, or your children, your parents. No, we were born into this family. You learn to put up with this family. These family are your members of your family. The same principle holds true of our spiritual family. They're your family members. We are different than all believers of the Old Testament, the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. Different than Adam and Eve. Different from Abraham, Moses, David. Different from Gentile believers in the age of Israel, like Nebuchadnezzar. Regeneration is the basis for eternal salvation for everyone. But baptism of the Holy Spirit is the basis for being an eternal member of the family of Jesus Christ. The basis for being a member of the family of Christ in the church age is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not just faith in Christ, but baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not a theological doctrine, people. That's personal. That's real. See? It makes us in union with everyone else that's in Christ. You are much more closely united with other believers than with unbelievers who are in your own family. Believers in the church age are unique compared to any other dispensation. You are in union with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is why we have a unique way of life that we're studying in Colossians 3. This is why we're to put up with one another because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 4. While Jesus Christ was alone on the cross, God the Father had to provide for Him a body or a bride, a family at His resurrection, unique to Him. The Godhead said about Adam in the garden, not good that he should be alone. God the Father said the same thing about Jesus Christ as the last Adam. And by that way, homosexuality, lesbianism, is blasphemous attack against the plan of God, the design of God, the marriage of Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. 5. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every believer in the church age is entered into union with Jesus Christ and therefore become the body of Christ. Don't get caught up in the first advent of Christ that you lose sight of the glory of being with Him for all eternity and live in that prospective right that you now live with one another. Believers in this dispensation are called the body of Christ. 6. Being the body of Christ does two important things in every one of us. First, this makes us personally related to Jesus Christ. You're personally related to Him. He's your Savior friend. You're personally related to the King of Kings. Secondly, this makes each one of us personally related to one another. That's what the baptism does, people. Puts you into union with Christ, a relationship with Christ, but also a relationship with one another. And therefore we should live with one another in a familiar way. That is, we are to put up with one another. The family you're born into makes a big difference in how you will live with those in your own family. Yes, it can get really difficult in a family. See? I know a family member that's related to Charles Benson's group. And boy, they don't like that they're a distant cousin of them. But they are. They're in the family. See? So the first murder, remember this, the first murder in the human race was a brother murdering a brother. He didn't put up with his brother. He murdered him. That's what happens when you don't put up. That's what causes a lot of murders. It's just, I've had it with you. Okay. This is just another reason why God supplies every believer in the church age, where this is the place that's only true, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because we have to put up with one another. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a seal for this unprecedented family in human history. Never before in history has the third person of the Trinity indwelled every believer. One of the purposes of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is so that we can put up with one another. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, God. I can put up with this believer now. 7. When the body of Christ is completed, the rapture of the church, then the church age terminates and the body becomes His bride. Now, that was the study on the family. Ephesians 4:2, let's go back to it. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance for one another. With all humility, we've studied it, fruit of the Holy Spirit, submit to the authority of God, not exalt self, opposite of arrogance and selfishness and conceit, and gentleness, correcting others without arrogance, impatience, or anger, with long suffering, showing Forbearance, that's our word. Put up with, tolerate others. For one another, believers in Christ. And I love this, in love. In spiritual love. Which requires, again, the Holy Spirit. See? Now look at verse 3. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Being diligent. Making this a priority. To preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I will put up with your tattoos for the peace in this assembly. I'll put up with your long hair. I'll put up with the music you like and I don't. I'll put up with the way you dress. I'll put up with that. Why? For the unity of the assembly. These things are not worth causing a big deal over. Put up with it. Get over it. Get over it. Your river standards, that's your standard. That's not everybody else's. Get over it. We've got to learn to put up for the sake of the unity. See? And don't forget, we don't put up with a lot, but there are a lot we do put up with in one another, just as you do in your own family. See? I was reared in a time the only people that got tattoos were sailors. That was it. See? Now I have family members, got tattoos. I've learned this. Got to put up with it. Get over it. Who made you the judge? See? Who told you those things? Long hair. Who made you the judge? Who made you the barber of everybody? See? That's not my business. Ours is the sake of the unity of the assembly. There are things you put up with. And for the sake of the unity of the assembly. Principle. If believers cannot tolerate the small irritations of everyday life from one another without leaving the spiritual momentum of growing in the Word and witnessing for Christ, how will they ever be able to endure real suffering when it comes? The suffering our young people are going through in college, and it's going to make it worse. The suffering of cancer. The suffering of death of someone. Persecutions from the world. People, if you can't put up with simple little things, you've had it when the charge of the elephant comes in. The Greek word is also used to endure suffering. 1 Corinthians 4:12, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure. You can see from this usage of our word, it means to endure physical persecution without retaliating, without forsaking or leaving the ministry. Paul is going to go right on. He will endure the persecution. There are many reasons why pastor teachers will leave the ministry at which they have been called. But to do so because of persecution, while easy to understand, is not always the leading of the Holy Spirit. An interesting circumstance of putting up with someone is found in Acts 18, where an unbelieving proconsul is to put up with religious Jews who have come to him to prison, to imprison, if not kill, Paul for teaching against their law. Therefore, Acts 18:14, but when Paul was about to open his mouth to answer the attacks, said to the Jews, he's a proconsul, said to the Jews, cut off Paul. Paul, you just be quiet. I'm going to talk here. Said to the Jews who had brought Paul up on the charges, if it were a matter of wrong or vicious crime, old Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. See? But this is not that. I'm not going to put up with you. This is an unbelieving Gentile. I'm not going to put up with your foolishness. This is one of the reasons why in 1 Corinthians 6, we are exhorted not to go to unbelievers' courts, handle personal problems, put it in the matter of the Lord. Now this is differs in crime and certain things. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, putting up with one another. Let us not lose sight of why we're to be characterized of all of these things. Colossians 3:1, context of why we're to put up with one another. We have been raised up with Christ, seeking the things above, not the things on earth. Most of these things that bug us are things of the earth. Set your mind, your thinking on things above, not on things of the earth. We get bugged about things on the earth. Let it go. You have died and your life is hidden. Therefore, consider the members of your body, earthly body, dead to immorality. Put aside mental attitude sins as elect in Christ, holy and beloved. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, putting up with one another. Well, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Remember next Sunday morning, communion. So maybe bring something if you want, and we'll just have fellowship time together. And put up with what everyone else brings. I don't think anyone's going to bring T-bone steaks for all of us. So put up with what they bring and enjoy it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, it's difficult to understand and see. Doggone it, you have to put up with me. You put up with me all day long throughout the day. If you put up with me in your love, then I am to put up with one another in your love, given by your Spirit, in my home, my family, my work, my church, for the unity of the peace in Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit, use what we've seen this morning, challenge us in our lives, and use this study for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.